Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
So Sean and I were talking about Predator. We both have seen the movie. I saw it on Friday night. And I wouldn't say you would call a Predator a punk. At least not the ones I saw in the most recent movie. Sean has the thought that, hey, the guys who are getting beat by random humans in the previous movies, maybe they're a little punkish. Maybe.
Just not up to the standards.
Not up to the standards.
Of the Yautja.
Of the Yautja, because you're getting beat by Danny Glover in a movie. Yeah. What are you doing here?
Yeah, it's like, It's like when Penn State is like 3-5. It's like, hey, this isn't up to the standard of our program. We need to take a look at what we're doing wrong.
Yeah, the Yautja, or both. Well, I guess two of the three Yautjas. I don't want to give it away, but not punks.
Just, hey,
and I bring it up because one Ime Udoka, he didn't call anyone a Yautja, but he did call his team. Well, let me clean it up. He said he feels like the Spurs punked them on, what, Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Friday night.
Opening game of group of stage.
NBA, the Rockets lost the first game of the NBA Cup.
It's a group of death, too, so it's tough.
That's a tough loss in the as they try to compete.
Spurs, Warriors, Nuggets, Blazers, Rockets.
You know, they went on a run last year, made it to Vegas, NBA Cup semifinals, and they went down. Not off to a great start. We'll get into what happened yesterday as they bounced back. But he said he felt like the Spurs punked them. The Spurs really got physical with them. He talked about it, how they trapped them physically. He doesn't think his team handled it well. As I was watching the game, I thought to myself, it'd be really nice to have a guy you trusted to run offense as far as initiating it, even if he wasn't the primary guy you're running a play for. Because the fact that you had to have Kevin Durant bring the ball up as consistently as you had to with how the Spurs were playing him, the physicality that they were playing them in one-on-one situations, how they would trap you physically, run through screens, it was tough for him to operate. It was tough for that entire team, because you don't want, and credit to Alpi for what he did yesterday, we'll talk about it, you don't really want him dribbling the ball up 70 feet. You don't want him bringing it up and having to be hounded for 10 seconds before you start to run a play. It is what they've chosen because Fred VanVleet is out. Maybe they will decide at some point, Reed Shepard's capable of that. Maybe they will trade for a point guard. But either way, as they stand now, they're going to have issues with guys who are physical, with teams who have physical wings. Now, the Spurs are a good basketball team. For the most part, you're not going to see that night to night, and that's why we saw them just destroy the teams they had destroyed during their winning streak.
I mean, their winning streak has come against, like, not even, like, average teams, or a couple
Raptors
average teams, but mostly below average.
Yeah.
But the first or the two times where we see the biggest, like, glaring weakness of the lack of point guard, opening night against OKC.
Wings and hard-nosed defenders.
And Friday against the Spurs, another hard-nosed team. And also two, I guess, environments that were are more intense than your normal regular season game, where, you know, the NBA Cup, like, teams are do People, try a little bit try. Harder. They're trying
like
harder.
Coaches are actually leaving starters in to score more points because point differential matters. Yes.
I would say it's like it's a game one of a first round series level intensity, sure. Where it's like it's playoff intensity, but it's not what you think
it is
when you think playoff intensity.
Actually, surprising how much the NBA has decided to care about this. Not the NBA as a, like the organization, because of course they want it to matter.
Like the
coaches. But the teams and the players, they actually care. And you saw that. And of course you add the fact in that it's Rocket Spurs. You're going to get that.
Yeah, a little extra juice.
Yeah, 24 turnovers in their game against the Spurs. It was just.
And it's the two biggest, you know, spots, two biggest stages that they've been in. Ring night against the best team in basketball. And then, you know, game one of their NBA Cup game. So I wonder if that's something that we see as a pattern. It's like most nights it's not that big of a deal. They can turn the ball over, you know, 15 times against the Grizzlies, and it doesn't really matter.
Sure.
But when it is in these bigger spots and it's something that's on the scouting reports, how teams are going to try to exploit you when they are in a situation where they're coming up for a unique game plan for you on that night, where most nights in an NBA season, that's not happening.
Yeah, I wonder when it comes to the teams that are capable of it, will the Rockets just see full court pressure until they make you pay? Like
in like a playoff series, like
you're gonna see that somebody's gonna be, particularly if they haven't acquired a point guard or Reed Shepard, whoever, they haven't found a primary ball handler that can handle it. They're gonna see that type of intensity and willingness to just pressure you out a game and see if you can handle it, just to disrupt you. Because once they get into their offense, and it got a little stagnant against the Spurs, and even yesterday afternoon while they were making their comeback, there's a lot of, hey, let's give the ball to Kevin Durant and let him make a lot of decisions. And of course it's Kevin Durant, so a lot of it's going to go well. But the degree of difficulty that he had to deal with, and you know, it's Kyle Kuzma, so you're going to be able to handle him. Sometimes Bobby Portis will wind up on him. And then Giannis said, all right, get out of the way. Because Kevin Durant was kind of having his way of manipulating Kyle Kuzma, whether into drawing fouls or getting him off his feet and knocking down jumpers, that Giannis took his try at him. The offense wasn't running as smoothly as you would like, but let's give credit to who we need to give credit to. Reed Shepard, first and foremost. He made a couple plays defensively that led to easy buckets. He knocked down a big-time transition three in a corner. He got his hands on a lot of basketballs as I would just say, the Bucks got a little lax. They thought they got by him, and he was still pressuring you, and he would tap a ball away to lead to an easy fast break. And then I mentioned the three-pointer. Kevin Durant pointed him out for his play. He was good, and he shot the ball well this year, and even in the bench minutes, he has found a way to be a contributor, and you saw him as part of helping them close that game out. Of course, Alpi's play where Giannis pressured him full court, and he spun around him after Giannis gambled a couple times, and he got into the lane, made a shot, drew a foul, did the flexing. Alpi had a big closing stretch. Through the game, as I was going back and forth between Texans and Rockets and watching Giannis be Giannis, I thought to myself, you know, I got people's reactions during the offseason saying, we don't want to break up this team because of how much it would take to get Giannis. But then I watch Giannis play, and I'm like, there's a big difference between Giannis when he's at his supreme powers, and even Alpi, who's played well this year and is a all-star. There are just different levels to it. Of course, there's an age difference, but there's just a physicality, a talent difference. And then Alpi responded. It helped that Giannis missed two free throws. He had a good night shooting free throws until late, where he missed, I think, 3 out of 4 when the game was still in doubt. And then Alpi made plays. He had a little runner in the lane when the Bucks had two on the ball. I think they had trapped Durant, and then he made a play to get the ball out of his hands, and it led to an Alpi runner, or at least a flip shot in the lane. And then, of course, the big play that he made to take the lead from, 2 to 5, because I think he made the free throws as well. But they're just points. When you watch how Giannis plays, go, man, a Euro step here, a dunk, and it looks easy, just easy. And we're talking about the Rockets, who have big, long defenders, and it didn't matter. But The Rockets made the plays. It was a it wasn't an important win, but it was a nice win to come off the loss to the Spurs, be trailing for most of that game, and see Reed Sheppard make big plays to get you sparked, and then your potential, as Tim McMahon would say, three all-stars, or at least two of the three, when it came to Şengün and Durant, make plays down the stretch to win that game. I like a little bit more fluidity with their offense. There's a lot of standing around when a team isn't pressuring them full court. Let's just say it's a normal half-court set, and they get the ball to Durant. There's a lot of, hey, Durant be great, and because he is great, that works. The Bucks made it tough on them. The Spurs did as well, but as we laid out, not every team is going to be capable of that. I just would like more answers, and they found a way through defense and getting it into even, you want to call it fast break or transition, early offense to go find some buckets to win that game. And their defense got stopped, so, of course, that's what you lean on, too, their ability. Once they kept Giannis out of the paint, the other Bucks couldn't hold up. So you get a nice win. You would probably say their best win of the year, if you think about who they played so far.
Yeah, resume win.
Sure, since we're talking college football, it'd be a resume win. If you just look at who they've beaten, sure, they've blown out teams. They've smacked teams around. But the Bucks aren't really thought of as a contender in the East, but how they've played so far, I would say best win of the season for the Rockets because of the circumstances and because of who contributed. The Reed Sheppard of it, the of course, Kevin Durant's play, and then Alpi coming through late. You like that. You like a bounce-back win, particularly when your coach is talking about how you got punked in your previous game against the Spurs. And that's a game even when Wimby didn't play that great. But the Spurs' other guys did enough. And that wasn't even a De'Aaron Fox game, was it?
No, no Fox, no Harper.
Yeah. We talked about it going in that they were lacking some depth at their guard spot. It did not matter that night, but at least yesterday afternoon, your team found a way.
Got another chance for a statement win on Wednesday. The Wizards come to town.
Cam Whitmore back.
Ooh, tribute video?
No. What? Do they have enough to make clips? Do they have enough to make a video? Do they have enough clips?
I mean, there's a lot of made shots.
Yeah, but in moments that people would care about, like you make a tribute video because he knocks down a big shot here. I mean, everyone's going to remember when he knocked. There's no moments for that. Like, how long was he here? Two seasons?
He was a men's draft class?
No chance that there's a tribute video. They might acknowledge him. They might go, hey, Cam Whitmore's back.
Show him or something.
But what video could they make?
Just of making threes?
Yeah, but
dunks.
Tribute videos have something to do with moments. There are no moments for Cam Whitmore. Did he dunk on anybody that we don't remember? I guess it wasn't a moment if I can't remember.
No. No, if one doesn't immediately come to mind, I think that.
So I think there will.
Just video of him pouting on the bench.
there's a game in Dallas that John always references because I think he was at the game where they're in the middle of a dogfight with Dallas late, and Cam Whitmore doesn't react when there's a big shot. He's just sitting on the bench because he's not playing. There are moments like that are part of the reason he's not here anymore.
Put it on the video.
That's courtesy of Dallas. I don't know if they'll give you. Yeah, I don't know how many people saw it if you weren't at the game. So I don't know that they'll do that. But Cam Whitmore's back, and the Wizards who are bad are here, and I imagine it'll be a Rockets 20-point win. It'll be very, very easy, lack of resistance, and that'll be nice.
If we talk about it for more than a segment on
how are we
going
to get to a segment?
No, I'm saying if we talk about it for more than a segment, something went horribly wrong.
Yeah, they would have had to lose the game or some awful injury had to take place.
Yeah.
But other than that, it'll probably just be a passing mention. Oh, look, the Rockets blew out the Wizards. Good on them for that. All right, we'll go to break with that. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you have some thoughts on the Texans game, the comeback, does it mean more than just a nice win? I do think it keeps your season afloat. But anything more than that, I think, is looking too much into it, considering your starting quarterback didn't play, your starting tackle didn't play. A lot of guys who you expect to be back didn't play. You just applaud Davis Mills, applaud them for them and their fight. And then you say, hey, you know what? Do it again against the Titans, but less dramatically. You want to score 36 points against the Titans? Cool. But let's do it in the regular flow of the game because we all want to just relax next Sunday. I don't need this. I don't need a comeback against the Titans, because that just means you are now just playing awful football and your level of opponent is allowing you to come back. So we'll see the health status of the missing guys later in the week. So we'll hear from Kamari Lassiter when we come back. I've mentioned that sound a couple times, him crediting Stingley for his play. And let's hear from Ime as well. Since we talked about Reed Sheppard, let's hear what the coach has to think about him when we come back. So hour one done, hour two. Well, we're deep in hour two. I forgot. That's on me. We're deep in hour two. If you want to join us before we wrap it up, we welcome you. 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to a couple of sound bites here from Ime and then Kamari Lassiter. But last night, as the Chargers were taking apart the Steelers are going to do that thing again where they have a big lead against the Ravens and then throw it away. But they might do it even quicker than they did last year, because that team, even from game to game, you don't know what you're going to get. You got the bad last night. But one thing that was a underlying storyline was Keenan Allen back with the Chargers. And at this point, I'm sure you go back in history. Maybe you say Kellen Winslow the first is their best pass catcher of all time. But Keenan Allen was on track to break the Chargers' career reception record. He did that last night, but he did it in a dishonorable way. For anyone who decided, I'm done with this game, understood. It's 25-10.
Hand up. That was me.
Understood. It's 25-10. Who cares? The Chargers solidly in the playoff picture as it stands. The Steelers, whatever. Probably not going to make the playoffs because they're going to allow the Baltimore Ravens to sweep them and they won't make the playoffs. Whatever. That's besides the point for this show. If you missed it, at the end of the game, as they have a road game next week and they didn't want to have it happen on the road, I don't know. But with like 250 remaining, there's no real reason to pass the football. But hey, you want to get Keenan Allen the receptions lead at home on Sunday night. So what they do is they do that little wide receiver pop pass thing where he comes in motion, Justin Herbert catches it, all he has to do is toss it forward, and Keenan Allen catches it. And that's, in fact, if he just fell down there,
He would have, instead of,
he didn't have to gain a positive yard. That would have been the reception leader. You know what? Trash. Thumbs down here. If we're going to do it, let's have it be something like when Strahan broke the single season sack record because Brett Favre fell down or slid down on purpose, whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
That's a poor way to go in the record books, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to create a video for Keenan Allen at some point, unlike the one Cam Whitmore's not going to get. They're going to create a video for him of all the moments, and they're going to put this in as the one where he breaks a reception record? That's terrible.
I think what you do is you wait for the next reception that he gets, or like the next good one, and like that's the
and
one that
pretend you like this one didn't happen?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't, though.
Oh, I guess if you want to do something this week for him. But yeah, I would have preferred like a screen pass, also dishonorable, but at least like the ball is traveling in the air for, you know, 20 yards if it's halfway across the field.
Sure.
Like, at least there's ways to do it to where it's not, like,
when he retires,
the easiest possible.
And he comes back for a day, and they put his, I don't know if they'll have their own stadium at that point, probably not. But so I guess they can't retire his number there.
By the way, that's the other thing, doing in front of your home fans when it's Sunday night football.
And it's all Steeler fans.
You're hosting the Steelers, yeah, who, like, are notoriously for taking over stadiums.
Maybe all the Steeler fans had left because the game was over, so maybe you got to.
But there you go.
Yeah. That's... So, but if you're doing this, and when he comes back, however they decide to honor him when his career is done, they want to say it's Keenan Allen Day at SoFi, wherever the hell they are at the time. Maybe they go back to San Diego. Who knows? This is the end of the video. the pop pass from Herbert to Keenan Allen, trash. It's got to be one of the worst.
Yeah, no,
broken record things ever.
You got to act like this one, like for numbers wise, it mattered because like he's gonna have another reception, hopefully.
Yeah,
this season, like
even if it happens on the road, who cares?
Yeah, I think for the highlight reel, like they don't have to know the real history of this. All right, this is the one that it's like the soldiers putting up the flag in Iwo Jima.
Sure.
They filmed that before the invasion. Like, they filmed that, like, that was not, like, actually a flag being put up after the invasion. Sometimes you gotta, hey, this is what looks better on the video, all right? The real stuff, you don't want to see the real stuff.
Now, I get not wanting to do it in Jacksonville, which is their next game. I get not wanting to have the record broken in Jacksonville, Florida.
The site of the biggest collapse. Well, maybe not in Chargers history. The Chargers have had a lot of big collapses, but...
Maybe the biggest playoff collapse.
A big playoff collapse.
One of the biggest playoff.
The biggest playoff collapse in the Justin Herbert era of Chargers football.
But is it even his worst performance? Because you saw what happened last year.
Probably not.
It's not even his worst performance in the playoffs after what the Texans did to him last year. But yeah, you don't want to do it on the road. You don't want to do it in Jacksonville. The site of that horror show in the second half. But you just at least throw a slant. Something.
Right? Like there's other easy ways to get a guy a catch. It's not yards. Because the Mike Evans one from, was that last year? I think it was last year. Maybe it was the year before. Where they had to get him 1,000 yards to keep the streak alive.
Uh-huh.
They like threw like an actual pass to get him that yardage. Like they had to like, and I don't understand why New Orleans didn't triple team him. Because I think they had to try twice.
Yeah, they
to
were
do it.
Definitely. Like forecasting, this is what we're going to do,
and they ended up getting it. But that one, I guess, because they needed 8 yards or whatever it was, it had to actually be a downfield pass. This one just, I don't know, doesn't sit right with me. I'll be honest,
it's dishonorable. That's all I'm saying.
As someone who's had Keenan Allen on multiple fantasy football teams throughout his time in the NFL, doesn't sit right with me. I feel like I have part of this record.
There's a better way to do it. They just didn't do it. But they're the Chargers, so of course they do it that way. Let's move on to, well, the Texans will face the Chargers, so maybe Kamari Lassiter will have to defend Keenan Allen later in the year. But his partner, Derek Stingley, made a great pick. He's had some issues, mostly because of health. I still don't know if he's fully healthy, and this is stretching back to week one, and credit to him for playing through being banged up. But he made a remarkable play. Just that one belongs on a highlight reel, film. Whenever Stingley hangs it up, when the Texans honor him, they want to put that on it, on the highlight video that celebrates him. That one belongs. Here's Kamari Lassiter on his All-Pro teammate and that play.
Greatest, one of the greatest players I ever played with. I mean, one-on-one, go out there, dive, undercut the route, one-hand snag it. I didn't get to see it. Because I was covering on the other side, but once I saw the replay, I'm like, bro, you got to chill out, bro. You got to chill out.
It's one of those plays where you're like, did that happen? Yeah. And then you watch it again. Okay. He is a unique talent, and when he's on the field, he is just one more reason why the Texans defense is one of the best in football and why their offense, up until the fourth quarter yesterday, had pretty much let them down all year long. It was a one-score game that they won, though. 1-5 this year. That stat came up as they were making their comeback. 0-5 in one-score games. And we can point to that record as it's regressed from the first 2 years with DeMeco Ryans as a reason why they are in the situation they're in. Now, the other ones that they lost this year are more in line with how the NFL goes. One play here or there goes your way. You would say, hey, the Texans could be this if they had won those games. Well, now you have one on the complete opposite end of the spectrum where you had no business winning it. So these things kind of even out. I would say yesterday's win is worth, when it comes to improbability, worth two of the losses, right? Like the Baker Mayfield play, what, 9 out of 10 times he probably gets tackled on fourth and 10. Well, I guess Henry Toto.
I'm not sure about Baker Mayfield.
Because it's Henry Toto. So yeah. Maybe, let's say 6 out of 10 times
yeah,
that play is made by Henry Toto.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. The Rams game, maybe you don't fumble. A couple. Maybe Landman doesn't make the play he makes. And you go, and you still have to score a touchdown, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
Because the Seahawks one, I'm not giving them.
I'm not giving that one to them. No, that one was they were thoroughly outplayed in that one, despite the one possession nature of it.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Rams game's probably the next closest,
and the Bucks. Yeah,
the Bucks and Rams are the closest.
Yeah, so I would say those have evened out. You come back in that way, and then you lose the way you did against those two teams. That's square. The Broncos, I don't know where that stands. That's just typical NFL comeback stuff, whatever.
That's a noon slate game that happens every week.
Yeah, it happens to some team every week. Yeah. So I think they're about even when you consider the improbability of what happened yesterday. So on its face, I think they should be 4-5.
And when you're 4-5, like every 4-5 team is like a play or two away from being 5-4. You know, like, I feel like, you know, if they win against the Titans next week and they're 5-5, that actually feels like
that's
about
a record
right.
That fits they feel who they
like,
are.
And they feel like a, you know, Mendoza line kind of team where it's like
good teams beat them.
Good teams beat them.
Average teams, who knows, and bad teams they can take care of.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I would agree. Speaking of good teams, man, the Seahawks are good. They are
Do the Texans
rolling.
Get more credit for saying somewhat competitive against the
Seahawks. No, because the Seahawks had who do they have Cooper Kupp throw a football when they had it when they could have just stuck with Sam Darnold
and scored.
Yeah, no. The Seahawks were giving the Texans chances. That game was fully in their control and the Seahawks are deciding to play games. Like, why? You're rolling. Why does Cooper Kupp have to throw the football? Was picked off because he overthrew it. So I think the Texans 4-5 is the correct record. If they win next week, 5-5 is right through 10 games. Let's get to this. I mean, I should have done this in a different order since we were coming off Rockets talk. I mentioned Emay had some thoughts on Reed Sheppard. Reed Sheppard played really well. He's played better and better as the season's going along. We went from why is Josh Okogie starting to, hey, it's good to see Reed out there and contributing. You know, Aaron Holiday might be sprinkled in if Reed struggles, but we haven't had to worry about that the last couple of nights as he has contributed. It was in a loss, but he shot the ball well against San Antonio, and of course, he played really well down the stretch against the Bucks. So here's Ime Udoka on Reed Sheppard's recent play.
Yeah, he's getting more comfortable and confident. You know, teams are trying to go after him at times and holding up a little bit more, and then just recognizing some of the coverages that we're putting him in. So he's a guy that has to come in and impact the game on both ends. And when teams, you know, try to take advantage of him there, I think he's quick to recognize who to help off of, who to crowd. And, you know, even bigger guys were asking to kind of shoulder the load a little bit there and switch on to some bigger matchups. And so first time he got in, he got driven once. But other than that, I think he was really steady. Obviously, he got great hands and got a lot of balls that led to transition baskets.
Yeah, his hands late in that game were a big part of the comeback, forcing steals and then, of course, leading to transition buckets. So, you know, he made the 4 threes against the Spurs, shot the ball yesterday. This is his third straight game with double digits and shooting the ball well. He didn't shoot the ball well against Dallas, but no one really did for the Rockets in that slugfest. But you're getting what you had hoped for before the year started. Rafael Stone, when he sat in with John Lance, said they need a Reed Sheppard to play big this year. And we were wondering what was going to happen there after the early start. But since that point, I don't know if you could ask for much more from a second-year player than to fill in when he can. And now the coach the last couple of nights is trusting you to play big minutes, play 26 against the Spurs and then 29 against the Bucks as he helped close the team out. So good things there. And the Rockets are 6-3. Sean told you they got the Wizards coming up in a couple of days. So, as he said, win the game so we don't have to spend that much time talking about you.
Maybe Reed Sheppard goes for
If maybe someone goes for 45 or something, we can talk about that. But if it's just a regular old
20-point
win, whatever it is,
I'm good.
Cool. We can move on to other things. If you want to join us, we got a couple more segments to go. 713-780-3776. But before we go to break, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it's a great way to make a uninteresting game a little bit more interesting. The Wizards-Rockets game, not up quite yet, but we do have some Monday Night Football action for you. Good one. Packers-Eagles on Monday night, and give me Jalen Hurts to score more than one rushing or receiving touchdown, or more than a half rushing receiving touchdown. This is a tush-push, belief that when they get inside the 2 or 3 yard line, they are just going to push Jalen Hurts' tush into the end zone. And then give me another one. This is a combination of Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley combining for 148.5 rushing yards between them. Doesn't matter if it's Saquon getting 147 and Josh Jacobs getting 2. I just think they'll combine for more than 148.5 tonight. If you like those picks, you can follow them. If you don't, you can make your own picks when you download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Texans had fluctuation on their O-line. Started with someone named Sidy Sow. If you don't know who he is, you and a lot of other Texans fans are the same. Didn't know he was even on the roster.
That's what's shocking.
Until he ran out there as a starter.
It's a guy that if you asked me if he was on the team, I would say no, and then he started.
Not for long was he in the game because it was maybe predictably terrible.
Not predictable to whoever decided to start.
Once again, the conversation that we would have had extensively if they had lost. What the hell is he doing out there? What? Why did you start him and then immediately pull him? What did he prove to you during practice week, during a week of practice that said he should play? And then immediately, whatever thoughts you had about that working, you were immediately dissuaded from him, those thoughts, by what happened out on the field. And then they pulled him, and then particularly in the second half, the line solidified itself. So this is how well they did running the football. Of course, with their, you might call it their jumbo package, when they have a sixth offensive lineman out there, something that they don't do well when it comes to inside the five-yard line. And credit to Nick Cayley for switching it up. They had the little pitch to Woody Marks on the outside. Speed to the pylon, touchdown.
That's all we're asking for.
And when it happened, I was like, oh, something new.
Yeah, when
look at that.
When they went for the pitch, I kind of, sat up in my seat.
I did go, huh. And then I watched Woody Marks.
I was kind of rooting for it to work, so we didn't look. Oh, they can't do that either. Well, all of our suggestions are bad.
Yeah, they did something different, and it worked.
Yeah.
But even with the deception that they showed the Jags, when they wanted to run right at them, they were pretty good, too. As I mentioned, when they had the bigger people on there, including a sixth offensive lineman, 67% success rate. The success rate thing, EPA, those are all analytics. Whatever. Maybe the numbers don't mean that much to you, but for more than two-thirds of the time, when the Texans wanted to run the football with big people, they did it well. When just flat-out running the football, they had their best day as far as success since week one of 2024. That was the Joe Mixon coming out party.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Colts back in 2024 when they acquired Joe Mixon and the Bengals were more than happy to trade like a seventh rounder for him. Like, Joe Mixon, does he still got it? He did still have it. And, of course, he's been dealing with injuries kind of since his Texans debut. And then this is the number when I was talking about EPA. It just means down-to-down success rate on runs.
Yeah.
It's been their best showing since week four of 2022. That's how how good they were running the football against the Jags. The team as a whole hadn't done as well since, what, a Lovie Smith week in 2022. A Damian Pierce game, I would imagine, with Davis Mills as his quarterback. So that combination of O-linemen that had to overcome the rough start did a really good job running the football. And it showed itself on the final drive of the game where they were going to run the ball down the Jags' throats into the end zone until a couple false starts, which of course happened because the Texans' offensive line can't be great throughout. They have to make mistakes. That's who they are.
No, they are B-minus C students.
Yes. They will regress.
There will be the, like, oh, got a 60 on this one. All right.
No, it's just who they are. Even, no matter who it is, they don't have a good offensive line, but they showed themselves to bully the Jags. And this is a Jags team who did whatever they wanted to as far as their defensive front against the Texans in the previous game. So I'm not sure what happened. Was it just simply on the field too long because they couldn't get off the field on third down? They could not make the plays. The Higgins touchdown was on third down. Of course, then it was followed up by the Nico one-handed stab for the two-pointer. The first play to get them going, the Texans going on the winning drive, was a third down play. Davis Mills ran it in on third and goal. The Jags were just really poor on third down, which is not something I would have said the Texans could win on with a backup quarterback and backup offensive lineman. But they did, and it's one of the reasons, with the running game, one of the reasons they are now 4-5.
Yeah, and if the Texans can run like, even not just like this where it's, you know, 6 yards per carry again, if they can have the running game be a strength, then like the offense starts to make more sense. You know, like that's what they need to do, is to actually be successful in this. So I don't know if it was the 5 O-linemen that they had out there, if it's something unique about the Jags front or something, like we mentioned, they're just on the field for way too much in the fourth quarter and they're running out of gas. Whatever it is, they need to continue it.
Hit the horn, Sean. Brian Daboll out. Oof. As Giants coach.
Oof.
Done for. Second head coach fired this season.
Okay.
Not surprising.
Texas offense coordinator.
Maybe. He was Toronto, Alabama coordinator at one point, although, of course, no real connection to D'Amico outside of they both were at the university at some point.
They could talk about a great restaurant or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even the Saban thing is a connection because D'Amico didn't play for him. But Daboll out. We discussed this Giants team, and we'll go to break. We don't have to do a lot on them. We talked about it. Why are they looking to trade for guys?
Yeah.
When it's likely that their coach is going to get fired, they're not going to win a lot of games. And, you know, Jackson Dart was good until he was concussed yesterday.
I was going to say, Dart impressed me.
Yeah.
Dart was impressed.
It was the other game on. I mean, I understand that some people went to go watch that game when the Texans were getting drilled early because the Giants-Bears game was the other game that was on.
I was sitting next to Joe, so.
Yeah, understood. Bears fan probably was thrilled for the first three quarters about how his Bears were doing. But Dart impressed me, run the football, but this was always the going to be part of the game for him. Cam Scadabo out for the year. Jackson Dart, if he's going to put his body on the line, is going to be one of those guys you have to worry about. He got concussed. His head coach gets fired the next day. I imagine the GM will follow in the offseason. Don't know why you would keep him, and that's why we said, why would you be in conversations about trading picks away for players when your whole regime could be different? And one half of that regime out. So we'll go to break with that. The Giants fire Daboll as they dropped, I believe, 2-8 yesterday after their loss to the Bears. The Bears are the Broncos of the NFC, apparently. We'll just show up in the fourth quarter and we'll football games. One more segment to go before we wrap it up. Before we go to break, I want to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. Simply put, if you want a great car, whether it be pre-owned, new, or something for your fleet, you go to Monument Chevrolet. They have great deals across the entire inventory. Check out what they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com. Whether you want a truck like a Silverado, or maybe you're looking for something smaller like a Trax, whatever it is you're looking for, it's there for you. Great cars being presented to you by great people. So when you head on out there, they're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, you're going to meet the great salespeople, and then you're going to meet the finance people. They're going to do whatever you want to do. So if you want a great car, that's where you go. Or excuse me, a great vehicle. They got the great trucks there as well, like that Silverado 1500. So from top to bottom, from the sales staff to the finance people, hell, maybe you're looking for something as far as service. They have great service people there. It's kind of a one-stop shop when you have a car or you want a car. So monumentchevrolet.com is the website. Head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
Brian Daboll out. I imagine once Callahan got fired, it was either him or McDaniel for next. Although Zach Taylor is getting some votes from some people, somehow, some way. Mostly because the Jackson Dart excitement petered out and they're losing. Daboll goes before McDaniel goes. McDaniel, hey, don't fire me.
Yeah.
I won 2 out of 3. What do you want from me?
Come on.
Hey, leave me alone.
I just got my passport renewed. I'm ready to go to Madrid.
He does get to go to Spain. Look at that, for free. He does make it to the trip.
He's not going to get fired on the trip.
I don't know if his family's going, but... Well, you know, if his wife's like, hey, at least make it so we go to Spain for free. Can you win a couple games so we get to go to Spain?
And then, boom, they go up 16-0 on
and she's
Bills.
Like, packing her bags. We're going. We'll see. The Commanders are struggling, so maybe a winning streak is in the offing because they got the Commanders and the Saints. So who knows how McDaniel goes.
Wrote him off.
All that stuff about, hey, next coordinator for the Texans. McDaniel's like, in honor of Lee Corso, not so fast. Let's get to Jeff here before we wrap it up. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. I had a rules question for you guys.
All right.
The last two plays of the game, there was an offensive penalty. They don't do 10-second runoffs anymore?
I believe that they declined to do the 10-second runoff because they wanted to save the
The Jags were asked, I believe. And, of course, DeMeco could have called a timeout, but I think the Jags were asked. And because, you know, Liam Cohen has some foresight, if I give up points here, a touchdown, I'm going to need time. So I believe that's what it took a little bit longer than normal because they were asking him about it. He said, I don't want the runoff.
Yeah.
And are you talking about the Texans' penalty that they force when the hands to the face as well? Because that was a penalty too.
Yeah.
Did the Jags...
The hands to the face.
I think the Jags...
There's only 7 seconds left.
I think the Jags still had a timeout, right?
Yes. Or was it because it was a live ball?
They used a timeout on the play before when they got sacked, didn't they not?
I have to go look back. I'm not sure. I would have to go... See. Yeah, you're right. They did use their final timeout because Trevor Lawrence... I don't know the sequencing of events because I thought Trevor Lawrence got sacked after, but I'll look it up. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me. I can't remember, but I would have to look and see the timeouts and how that was determined and when it happened. So I'm a little caught off guard there, but I'll look it up, Jeff. Yeah, normally a 10-second runoff takes place unless the team decides to use their final timeout. Appreciate that because it was a couple questions about that late in the game about how penalties and time was going to be assessed because we're pulling it up right now. And on the final drive of the game, Trevor Lawrence is sacked by Hunter and Toto. The Jags call their final timeout. He scrambles out of bounds. I think it's because
the clock was stopped.
Because if we remember, the Jags receiver went out of bounds. So it's a penalty, but I think because he goes out of bounds or maybe because a play started out of bounds, the clock stopped, so it doesn't count. I think that's how it plays out. I think it's mostly because Parker Washington wound up out of bounds. Because if he was in bounds, they could have. So
yeah, and it's the reason for the rule is that if the clock is running and the defense wants to stop the clock, they can't just commit a penalty. They can't just jump off sides.
Or the offense in this case couldn't just do something to stop the clock. So I think it's because I'm going to assume it's because Parker Washington wound up out of bounds. So it wasn't as if the penalty was stopping the clock for the Jags because the clock was stopped before the play started and was stopped after the play started. That's what I believe, but it wasn't explained on the broadcast. Appreciate it. Jeff. I didn't really think about it too much because I just assumed because he was out of bounds, they didn't have to worry about it. All right, we're done for the day. Clock questions aside, Texans are 4-5. We'll hear from, I think, D'Amico today, so we'll have the sound of that tomorrow. Of course, Rich Eisen is up next, followed by the killer. Nope, almost did it. It is 1B and then a Joe. So Jeremy and Joe.
The Jays.
Are up next. Sure, the Jays. Is that what they're calling themselves for shorthand?
No, that's what I just did.
Okay, I thought that was a nickname I hadn't heard yet. Jeremy and Joe after Rich Eisen. But since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Duval.
We got a new sound for them. Same old sorry as Jags. We'll have that going forward because I think it's apropos. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.